Hello, this is the FPL Experiment Podcast. If you are new around here, welcome. We're three mates. This is the experiment. Can we create one team that finishes in the top 50,000 teams? We've all achieved that individually, but is it possible for us to do that together? We're going to review game week 18 and make some plans for game week 19. Greg's here doing a little dance. How are you?
I'm all right, mate. You?
Yeah, very, very well.
Have you been hustling this week, mate?
It's been a week of hustling, yeah. I listened to a lot of the 50 Cent audiobook on Sunday night just to get me prepared for the week. Maybe we'll talk about that later. Nick, how are you?
I'm tip top, thank you. Feeling fresh. First week back at work, but I'm feeling good. Just watched a bit of the City game, bit dull, but, you know, very excited for this quick turnaround in game weeks.
Yeah, I'm going to jump straight into my takeaway because it makes sense off of the back of what you've just said. I'm not going to get all excited about this double game week because the free hit game week, I was so up for it. And we spent so long talking about our team and I was thinking, yeah, this is going to be good. So far, I mean, our captain, De Bruyne, not really done a lot. We last night had Fernandes. Yeah. It just really hasn't been that much of an exciting game week. So I'm not getting myself up for the double in the hope that it's really going to deliver a massive amount of points. Because I really built this up. I thought, yeah, this is us. We're jumping like 50,000 places. We're on the rise. We're going.
But you've got to think, though, we would have done far worse if we hadn't played our free hit. That's the point of the free hit, right?
Yeah, I love your positive spin. I'm really into it. Nick, what's your takeaway for the game week?
My takeaway is actually the opposite of this. So in this blank game week, there's a fair few free hits being played. And there's a lot of talk of the template, which I know, Adam, you despise the template. And the majority of players like to try and make their team not template, spend a lot of time saying how their team isn't template. But I don't think everyone needs to be a fantasy football visionary, right? A lot of people want to have these rogue picks. Like Greg picked Traore, didn't even play. Embarrassing. My take on this is that the template shouldn't always be seen as a negative thing, right? Especially if you're floundering in the lower leagues like myself. The template is the result of thousands of people talking about the best players to have in their fantasy football team. Why not take that advice? And, you know, especially if you're way down the bottom, use the template, climb a few ranks, enjoy it.
This is a really big turnaround for you this season, because obviously earlier in the campaign you went for the double Leicester City defense. So this is a real change in mindset. You've really come into 2021. You're really hustling, Nick, and I like it. I'm into it.
I just think if in doubt, do what everyone else does.
My takeaway is actually to be thorough. My lovely little sister Lindsay this week spent hours poring over her free hit team. Listen to the pod, asking me questions, sending me screenshots, only to realise come game day, she hadn't actually pressed a free hit button and has got the team from last week. So kiddlywinks, check, double check, recheck, check again, and make sure you press your buttons. We've got chips coming up all across the board these weeks, so press the button.
Yeah, I mean, do you remember when you accidentally transferred Chilwell into our team and not your own team, Greg?
Yeah, so I'm checking, I'm rechecking, and I'm checking again.
Right, so we are recording on a Wednesday night. So we've just seen the Man City game. They've just beaten Brighton 1-0. We've got Spurs and Fulham, which is taking place now. So we'll try and keep an eye on that to see how that shapes our team and our thinking. We've heard just before coming on to doing this podcast that Leeds against Southampton is off for this game week. And there's a high likelihood as well that Villa against Everton is going to be moved. So that's expected to not form part of the double game week as well. So Southampton, Leeds, and probably Villa won't have a double game week. I think we probably make the assumption that they won't have doubles, including Villa. We're not going to make any decisions tonight. So we're just going to put some ideas out there because a lot can change. Spurs might be brilliant tonight. Fulham might be brilliant. So Chelsea might not necessarily be a side that are that appealing. Difficult to make decisions, but that's what we're here for. Greg, who are you thinking about in goal?
So over two games, I don't think for me there is a better option than looking for back-to-back clean sheets than Man City's defence. Another clean sheet again tonight. It's a bit of a dull pick, but Edison, if he returns you 12 points, you're going to be happy with that. It's boring, but it's 12 points.
Do you know what I put down exactly the same for exactly the same reason, because we've got Cancelo in our defence. After the FA Cup game, Pep said Cancelo was a bit tired. And that, for me, is a big warning sign that potentially for the next game, he's not going to be in. Those City games come with such a short amount of space in between them. But at the same time, they've got the double. Then they've got West Brom, Sheffield United, Burnley. So what you've then got for those five games, when it looks like they could get five clean sheets, is a guaranteed starter for all five games. And realistically, you might get a goal from Stones. You might get an assist from Cancelo. But also, you're pretty sure that they're going to miss one of those games. So it will probably, over the five games, cancel that out anyway.
I've gone exactly the same. I think, you know, great minds think alike. You know, I think they have the best clean sheet potential in the league for this double. The question is more whether you can justify a slot or a transfer for a City keeper. If you can do it, as you said, Ad, six games, clean sheets, that's a lot of points. I think he's definitely the lowest risk person to pick this week.
I think the only thing is they have created a lot of chances recently. And there is going to be a point, and you feel that it could come anytime soon, where they do bang four or five, like we've seen them do previously. So you might feel like, have I wasted my pick defensively? But at the moment, they just look so good at the back. Midfield players, forwards aren't exactly scoring freely. How about defenders, Greg? Have you got anyone a bit more exciting?
Yeah, so aside from the Man City assets, I've gone for the FBL experiment favourite, Aaron Cresswell. So 21 points over his last three game weeks. Slightly controversial, seems as West Ham have lost the last four out of their five against Burnley, and they've conceded 11 goals in that process. That was actually a shock to me. I didn't realise that was the run of poor form they'd had against Burnley as well. Attacking output, I think there's a clean sheet potential there as well. He would be outside of the Man City boring picks. Cresswell would be my option.
Yeah, they've got two really good fixtures in the double. Good information about Burnley. I didn't realise that either. That's pretty crazy. How about you, Nick? What are you thinking?
Well, I think Greg's been taking a sneaky peep at my notes because I've also got Cresswell. He's been great for us. He got 11 points last time out. Got a great double, Burnley and West Brom. He's the fourth highest scoring defender in the league. So for a team that hasn't got that many clean sheets, it's pretty good.
Yeah, good shout. I was really interested with Luke Shaw's position during that Burnley game. I think it was you, Greg, that talked about him in the last podcast. He was so advanced in that match. He was pretty much playing as a left winger. It's almost like he's been told to get a lot further forward. And if he needs to make those runs into the area to make them, there's a chance maybe that he gets rested.
I just don't see him running back a lot. So I reckon maybe Ole just said, just get up there and just stay up there, mate, because you can't get back. Leave it all to Maguire. You can sweep up at the back.
His ball to Maguire, the goal that should have stood, in my opinion, was fantastic as well. Great header from...
I never knew his distribution was so good, unless he's just been really working on it recently. He does look like a proper asset.
Depending on the Fulham game as well tonight, it'll be interesting to look at those Chelsea assets, Chilwell and Zouma, because they've got Fulham and that looks like it's got potential to be a clean sheet. And they switched their formation in the FA Cup. They played with two wingers either side of Timo Werner, one of whom was Ziyech, or Ziyech, never really sure. And I think they become a lot more of an attractive proposition when Ziyech is fit.
Yeah, I love Ziyech. I think he's got a wand of a peg. He's a brilliant little player.
So interesting to see what happens with Chelsea. I think lots of people will ignore them during the double too. So there's a chance there to pick from a top team and pick what is considered to be a differential when probably, you know, they're not really a differential. A Chelsea player, you can't really consider that to be a differential. Although I did earlier on in the season when we picked our differentials, tried to sneak a few through. What are you saying, Greg, in terms of midfielders?
I've gone Harvey Barnes. Leicester are unbeaten in nine games now in all competitions. And there's seven wins in that run too. So Barnes in the Premiership has had 17 points his last three game weeks. He also scored at the weekend in the FA Cup at Stoke too. He's contributed 10 goals in 23 games this campaign. So it's a real step up, I think, this year for Barnes. I know he could probably be a little bit more consistent to be a really good FBL asset moving forward. But I think for the double game week, from a midfield perspective, he's got to be up there, or at least in the conversation to be up there.
I've actually gone for a lesser player. I've gone for...
Oh, do you two just want to sleep together? Come on.
Well, it's a bit... I mean, I can... Can I go first next time?
What do you mean?
Greg keeps stealing my shit. So I've gone for James Maddison for Leicester at home to Southampton and against a shoddy Chelsea defence. He's back in the groove now, pulling the strings for them, a goal and assist in his last two. He's by far the most productive midfielder in that Leicester team. He may not have had the most attempts on goal. I think that's Harvey Barnes, but he is involved in goals a fair bit over the last few games. Created 5 chances in his last 2 appearances. I think he could be a really good pick. I think Rafinha, had he had a double, could have been good, but obviously that's been kiboshed now. So I'm sticking with Maddison.
Nice pick. Yeah, I think he looks great at the moment. Like him a lot. Before we just started recording this, was having a quick flick around Twitter, and I saw on Late Riser's Twitter that he put loads of different numbers up, and one of them was concerning Salah versus Mane, and Mane comes out on top over the last 4 matches. So he picked up some stats from the Fantasy Football Scout. So I think, obviously, we've got Salah. We've had some conversations on WhatsApp about maybe would we think about transferring him out this week for Kevin De Bruyne. Mane's stats look really good. And I love Suchek as well for this week. 5 goals in 10 in the Premier League. I know you two, you didn't want to go near him, but he keeps doing the business for my team. His stats, he's like Vardy, really. His stats don't necessarily live up to it, but last 5 or 10 minutes, you know he's going to be in the box if West Ham need a goal.
But we can't have Cresswell, Koufal and Suchek in our team. That's disgraceful.
We've got 3 leads, Nick.
I mean, that's not disgraceful, though.
Isn't it? Greg, how about you up front? What are you saying? Because I actually think strikers was probably the hardest area for this game week to pick. I think you could pack out your midfield with a number of players. It's almost a shame that you can't have 7 midfielders.
Like you said, I think it's a really difficult minefield to try and traverse at the moment for the strikers. So with Ings no longer an option for a double perspective, I've gone for James Vardy. James, I don't know who he is, but the posh
James Vardy. Welcome to the podcast, James.
Hello, James. Yeah, Jamie Vardy. He's got, 23 points in his last 4 game weeks. He seems to be getting more assistant goals.
James Vardy. Sorry.
You done, yeah?
I don't know. I might come back with a couple more. You just keep talking and I'll let the cogs turn.
You keep hustling.
Like you, Ad, I had to do a little bit of last minute research into this. And Late Riser also provided me with some good stats around some Leicester assets. So he's actually compared Vardy with Barnes and Maddison in terms of the last 4 games and their outputs from a shots in box, chances created, expected goals and expected goal involvement. And Vardy's stats have just been brilliant over the last 4 weeks. He's got a nice couple of games coming up. So as long as his hip can stay pretty much functional, I don't know what I was trying to say there, then yeah, he's my striker.
They don't lie, his hips, or do they? Do they lie? Nick, I wonder who Nick's going to go for as a striker. I really can't. I wonder. Nick.
Does his name begin with T? Tony.
Oh, yes.
Mikhail Antonio.
What's who I was thinking?
I think he could be a bit of a sleeper selection. We don't have any stats to back it up, right? We just know how good he is. He was posting some phenomenal stats at the end of last season. He's been plagued by injuries, but he's had a nice bit of rest now. He played 90 at the weekend. I didn't know this until today. Haller has gone.
He's gone to Ajax.
Yeah, plays for Ajax now. So there's not really anyone who can take his place, right? I will caveat all of this. This pick is laden with risk. But if you fancy an explosive differential, we don't know if he'll get back in the groove straight away. He's 6.2 million. A lot of people will have DCL who is injured, or Che Adams who's potentially injured as well. It could be a nice straight swap. I know that's 100% what I'll be doing in my own team.
He was good at the end of last season, like you said, but also at the start of this season before he picked up the injury. 3 goals in 6. They've got the double. They've also got a nice fixture afterwards. But also when Haller left, there's been lots of rumour about who's coming in. They've been strongly linked with Diego Costa. Now, whoever it is that comes in, you've got to be thinking, I want to prove that I should be the main guy.
Yeah,
I want to be the big guy on campus. Burnley and West Brom.
I know. It's
too good to be true.
It could be carnage. So I think the only question for us is how do we get Suchek, Antonio into our team alongside Koufal and Cresswell?
Yeah, 4 West Ham seems the way to go. Maybe they could bend the rules for this week.
Apparently, Giroudinho has also been linked with West Ham as well, which would be, I think that'd be a great signing.
Yeah, it would be. That would be great. Timo Werner, also interesting for me this week. He hasn't scored for ages in the Premier League, but he did score in the FA Cup. They played a different formation, like I said. And if you were looking for a punt and if you needed to jump up, could be worth it given the fixtures that they've got. And also depending on how the Fulham game goes tonight. Anyway, let's talk about differentials. Greg.
I've been waiting for this moment, boys, for 2 weeks. Differential of the week.
So a differential is a player who is owned by 5% of players or less and costs £8 million or less. So last time we played this, which was before the previous game week, I was top of the league with 40. Greg had 29. Nick had 15. Big turn of events. Greg has a smug face because he picked a player. Well done, Greg. So I picked Siggy. He got 3 points. Nick chose Harvey Barnes, got 2. Greg, it's the best selection so far of differentials. Tierney, even though Greg can't pronounce his name properly and he tries to make him French, he did get Greg 18 points. He's not called Tierney, but Greg is now top of the league. Greg on 47.
Well done. Do I get my points for Ethan Ampadu for last week or not?
No, you don't, Nick. Okay, but well done for randomly saying a Sheffield United defender. So differential league table is looking like this. Greg is now top on 47 points. I've got 43 points and Nick has 17. Now, I've thought long and hard about this because I think Nick and I are going to go for the same player. And I wondered whether or not I should just give you that player with the opportunity for you to be able to catch up. But at the same time, now Greg's ahead and I didn't realise Greg was going to jump ahead. I really don't want Greg to win this. You know, as much as I love a level playing field, Nick, I apologise. I'm going for Antonio. 2.7% of teams own him. And those Burnley-West Brom fixtures just look too good.
Oh, yeah, he's mine too, yeah.
What are you saying, Greg?
You two have been doing this a lot this season, just joining up on very average differential picks. I'm going Harvey Barnes. 6.8 million, 4%. He's going to keep me top of the league.
So there are differential picks. Nick and I have both gone for Antonio and Greg's gone for Harvey Barnes. Let's hope Nick and I catch Greg up next time round. So let's talk about our team very quickly. This is what we did for our free hit. We said, let's not go template. And that's why we chose the same team as everybody else. We went for Lloris in goal, Tierney, Cancelo and Saïss, De Bruyne, Son, Fernandes, Saka, Gundogan and Lacazette and Kane up front. Ampadu is on the bench, but it looks like he's not coming on unless Tierney doesn't play. 9 points sat on the bench, but McGoldrick's our first sub anyway, bizarrely. Anyway, that was the team for the free hit. That doesn't really matter too much because we have to pick our team for the next game week. So as it stands, we've got Martinez in goal, Robertson, Cancelo, Cresswell, Kufel, Salah, Son, Fernandes, Rafinha, Vardy and Bamford with Dallas, Adams and Bissouma on the bench and also Forster. We talked a lot about bench boost. Nick, what do you think about bench boost?
I think although we've planned to do it, I think there's just no upside there for us this week. I think we save it. We just focus on getting as many double game week players as we can. I know we've got a few problems. We've got Bissouma who's suspended. We've got Adams who's potentially injured. Vardy's got a flag. So I think there are a few things there that we need to sort out. We don't have KDB in our team, which is a big worry for us, but there is a way to get him in, but not without a hit, I don't think. So I think the big question for us this week has to be, do we get KDB in? And if so, who do we sacrifice to get him?
For me, KDB is the one player that sticks out above anybody else because even though he only grabbed an assist tonight, he could well have had another assist had Sterling scored the penalty and he had a number of good chances. He looks like their best player by far. Is there anyone else, Greg, that you think we really need in the team?
In terms of we really need, no. I think we have to get KDB in our team for this game week.
So basically, Son's going to leave, irrespective of what he does tonight. Son's going to leave the team and then we need to find the money somewhere else. That's essentially what we're going to do. To be honest with you, I didn't like him when you gave him to me as a shitty Christmas present. Would be happy to see him leave. If Shea Adams isn't in our squad anymore, it would just make me so much more smiley every week when I do come to look at that team.
So could we do Son out, Che out, Antonio in, KDB in?
I think we're right on the wire in terms of money, so I don't think we can afford that, no.
We can afford Davis from Villa. That's basically it.
Yeah, we'd have to go for a 4.3, which isn't too bad because we've got Dallas on the bench.
What's your gut saying at the moment then, Ad? Are you on the KDB train as well?
I'm leaning towards we bring in KDB and we bring in a 4.3 striker for Adams. Just whilst the cogs of my brain turn, the alternative, as far as I'm concerned, potentially could be maybe we bring in another City midfielder. Perhaps it's Foden, perhaps it's Gundogan. And that maybe would give us the capability to bring in Antonio for Shea Adams. But my thinking with that is that I don't think there's a City midfielder that's guaranteed to play both of those games. I think probably they'll get rested, but that would maybe be the other option that I would float.
We can get by with like a 4.3 on the bench for a few weeks, I think.
And then the option is, do we play another chip this week instead of bench boost, which would be our triple captain?
That had been on my mind. I feel like there's not going to be another opportunity for the rest of the season that I would like to see the triple captain played as much as on KDB or potentially a Liverpool player. The fixtures are too good.
I mean, KDB playing against a Villa team that have had trouble with COVID and Crystal Palace, who haven't been particularly good. KDB against those two. Yeah, like you said, Nick, it doesn't really get much better as far as a double game week is concerned. And I also don't see further down the line which teams are going to have. There may well be. Maybe Spurs are going to end up with two plum fixtures, but we'll probably, in that next double game week, play our bench boost anyway.
And like Andrew Ferguson said last week, when you get to the end of the season, who knows what's going to be happening? Who knows could be injured? Who knows how many, you know, games they've got in a short space of time? We know what we know now. And I think KDB will play in those two plum fixtures. And it makes sense to at least give our chip the best chance it possibly can have of working.
Greg, can you feel it in your plums?
I like it. It's actually quite exciting because I think there will still be a fair few bench boosts played this game week because people have stacked up accordingly and they might have not gone as hardcore on Leeds and Southampton as maybe we had done. But I think it's an ideal opportunity to use it on someone that I think we're all invested in to use it in this game week. I don't think there's an argument in terms of us, one of us not wanting to do it. I mean, so that for me is really exciting as well. Amps up that excitement I was feeling towards this game. Because like you, Ad, I'd hype myself up so much for this free hit and it's almost been a bit of a damp squib at the moment.
I think we spent a lot of time building for this week for the bench boost. But we can make one transfer and get one player in for the triple captain. We still have a wild card that we can use in future when we know a bit more to completely redo our team and give it the best chance of working for a bench boost. That would be my thinking.
Nick Jackson bringing the positivity this week on the podcast.
Amen.
Amen, brother. Right, so at the moment we're thinking Kevin De Bruyne in, a 4.3 striker. I think it's only Davis that fits into that category and potentially triple captain Kevin De Bruyne. But we're not going to make any concrete plans until that lovely Saturday morning deadline. I love a Saturday morning deadline. I don't like Friday night deadlines. It's just a bit frustrating. I like panicking, looking at my team on Saturday morning and 5 minutes before the deadline when I've been sure a week. I'm like, yeah, last minute transfer, yeah.
I remember, Ad, I had some of my best seasons in FPL when I used to message you in my pants in bed saying, who shall I captain every Saturday morning? And you know what? Day with my glory years. Maybe I need to get back to it Saturday morning in my pants.
We can do a pants podcast if you want, where all of us are in our pants and we can make our double game week decision. Why didn't we do it? Should we all take our clothes off now?
Are you not in your pants now?
Ah, dear. Right. So that's the potential plan. In terms of like looking ahead to this weekend's games, is there one in particular that you're really looking forward to or is that really obvious?
For me, it's Brighton. I really want to get one over.
What?
Yeah, I really want to get one over them after the whole Ben White saga over the summer.
I mean, I know you're a Leeds fan, but do you know that Liverpool against Man United is on Sunday?
Yeah, don't care about that. I want us to get back to winning ways, and I just want to do one over Brighton. Oh, I'm really excited about it.
I mean, how do you think you will do Leeds against Brighton? How do you think it's going to go?
See, I was really confident, actually, going into that game, pre-watching that Man City match, but Brighton actually looked organised for once tonight and actually defended quite well. I mean, Man City did miss a lot of chances, but so do Leeds anyway, so that could follow the same narrative. But I'm still confident we'll beat them.
Brighton's keeper looks good, Sanchez. He's had a massive jump up from playing for Rochdale last season to now playing in the Premier League. Nick, how about you in terms of this weekend's
game? Yeah, I mean, the game you said, Ad, I mean, Liverpool, United, first and second, it's going to be a corker, I hope. But then from a very selfish FPL perspective, I just really want to watch the West Ham games and see if our double West Ham defence and my Antonio pick actually work. Because yeah, I'm pretty sure that nobody else in the world has double West Ham defence. So could be big things.
I laughed so loud then, I actually had to pull my mic down because I thought it was going to be embarrassing. Because it has been pointed out to me by my girlfriend that I have got a fairly embarrassing laugh.
Oh, so
I tried to keep that off the podcast. Apparently, yeah, it sounds a bit like a monkey laughing.
Now you've said it. Yeah, you do. You sound like an orangutan.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you very much. So do you want to end the podcast on some Curtis Jackson 50 Cent audiobook stuff or not?
Yes.
Bothered?
This yes, is what please. I signed up for.
Because, I mean, 2021 has been a year of hustling for me so far. Thank you very much, Curtis, for that. I've not let anybody lick my lollipop as of yet, but I am working towards that in my brand new candy shop. Obviously, what you've probably noticed today through Zoom as we record this podcast, guys, is that I am looking at you a bit differently, because what I have been considering and what you do have to think about is who's in your crew. And you have to think, are your crew holding you back in any way? Is there a weak link? If you've got some friends from the past, like way back, like we all go from back in the days, are they helping you to progress?
Are we holding you back?
Well, you're under review, Nick.
He's got some interesting stuff to say, hasn't he, Fiddy?
What he did say was that your friends from a long time ago are more than prepared to say things that people you haven't known for very long wouldn't say. So, for example, I can't imagine that many people would say, yes, you do laugh like an orangutan, Adam. And that is the honesty that you do get from friends from a long time ago.
It's that nuclear button that we're all happy to press on one another.
Yeah, he's very much into his crew. And you get one chance with 50, apparently. And if you mess up, see ya. He's not interested anymore.
Is there an optimal crew size?
No, he didn't bring that up, but he did talk about when he first got into making music and when he sold his first album, it went huge. And what he did was bought this massive house about 2 hours outside of New York. And in that house, there were like 40 rooms, 50 bathrooms, because when you're in hip hop, you always have to have more bathrooms than bedrooms. It's always the way, isn't it? And like cribs and stuff. He also, within that house, had a nightclub. And so all of his mates used to come round, obviously, and all the people that were recording music, he had a recording studio. Can you imagine how fun that would be if one of your mates had a house with 40 rooms?
Amazing.
And there's a nightclub in the flat, or the house, sorry, a nightclub in the house.
In his flat. Is that going to be you then soon, Ad? Is that what you're saying? When do you complete on that purchase?
Yeah. I'm going to get a recording studio for the podcast.
Oh, brilliant.
And we're just going to have Bear Honeys coming over and just like laying on the desk. And then afterwards it'll be like, yeah, post-podcast party. You know, I'll be walking around with my bottle of champagne, but drinking ginger beer. You lot will all be on the floor and I'll be in your ear trying to find out your secrets. Going, I'm going to ditch Nick because he's bringing the crew down.
He's texting me in his pants again.
Great insight again, Ad. I enjoyed that. Thank you.
That's what I'm listening to at the moment. That's what's bringing me life. Anyway, good luck for the game week. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll post a team up at FPL Experiment on Instagram and Twitter. And we've even got some new graphics going up, courtesy of our new creative Greg too. So looking forward to seeing those this week. Watch out for those. Speak to you soon. Enjoy the double game week.